It's near and dear to the hearts of the Hebraic people, a.k.a. the Jews. God's word's a powerful, powerful thing. It's multifaceted. It's a hologram. You can look at it from 80 different angles, and it's got 80 different meanings and 80 different perspectives. There's nothing else like it in the existence of mankind. That years back in the 90s, when computers started to get going pretty good, they did a whole bunch of algorithmic evaluation or analysis of the scriptures, and they ran them through all kinds of mathematical programming, testing, looking through the old Hebrew and trying to see if there was more to it. And what that means is, for example, Hebrew is written, oddly, in 26 by 26 matrices, and I won't get into all that. But the bottom line is they'd run the math on the Old Testament, and it, you know, for absolute, complete, and total simplicity, you would start out like this. You would check every other letter and, you know, see what you get, and then check every other word, see what you get, and then you get to, like, every third letter, you check, you run it on that, and you do every third word, you know, and then you get to the point where you're getting to every fourth, and then you're getting to the square root of something, and then you're checking the Fibonacci sequence, and then you're checking factorials, and then you're checking prime numbers, and then, you know, it just goes on and on and on. There's all kinds of mathematical principles you can apply, trigonometry, sine, cosine, tangent, cosecant, etc., and they test all these crazy different applications to pulling different pieces out of it. What came out of that back then, I was in banking back then, I think transitioning this direction perhaps, and there was a book that came out called The Signature of God. And it was astounding and profound. It showed that the Word of God was absolutely spectacular, to the point where, believe it or not, it had things like Saddam Hussein's name, his date of birth, his date of death, all kinds of stuff like that. Theory that some people came up with, whether it's true or not, I'm not going to take a stand, but many said it was the Book of Life. Where, you know, when you apply, who knows what? I mean, you go to like Mars and you see the plains of Cydonia and there's pyramids there that are covered in massive amounts of dust and dirt. And, you know, if you look at what happened to the earth with the great flood, you go to Answers in Genesis and the guy's got videos showing 14,000 foot high mountains in Montana that have water cuts going all the way to the top, 14,000 feet above sea level. Now, granted, those, you know, there's a combination of the Great Flood and tectonic plate shifting and the waters from underneath pushing up, you know, the different earth masses. You got Pangaea, you've got the breaking up of the continents. There's a lot that took place there. So when you think about that occurring on the earth, obviously it occurred on Mars in some way, shape, or form. There's no doubt, you know, when we're on Mars, we're looking at massive, massive evaporated oceans. Huge. There's no question. You can't deny it as they go deep. First of all, you can see that these are massive water cut bodies or what, you know, or what's left, the chasms or, you know, dry lake beds, but they're oceans. They're bigger than our oceans. Well, maybe not. We've got some pretty big dandies, but theirs is like that. And the deeper you go into those areas, the higher the salinity, which is the salt content, which is exactly how our oceans operate. There's some really cool physics out there, by the way. Do you realize that we have under ocean rivers where fresh water flows at massive speeds? We have, I won't even get into that right now because I could go off on a tangent, which I've never done before, and so I don't want to start now, and that's a joke if you know me. But when you look at what happened up there, there's in Mars, there's so much destruction, but there's so many incredible features that they find. And because when people don't believe in God, they don't like to see that level of magnificence. Everything happened by accident. Like it says, I think, in 2 Peter 3. You know, where it says they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues as it has from the beginning. And the interesting thing in that translation is the word for beginning is ktisis, K-T-I-S-I-S in Greek. It doesn't mean creation. It just means a point blank beginning. It actually means like an accidental start. But what do our fantastic biblical translators write every time they write creation? Creation is geneseo, Genesis, beginning. God-given beginning. Why do they translate like this? This is why I've gone to Hebrew and Greek as much as I can in reading the Bible. These people come in, these expert, godly, biblical scholars, come in with this incredible resume, and they apply their own skew and bias, period. That's it. It's a fact. They are not seeing God's word. There is not that I'm some, you know, better than them. I'm just wanting God's word in its purest, truest form. And for years, I was really struggling with my walk with God. Although I had faith, God blessed me with faith. I've always struggled with trust, as we all do. But I always felt prime, inferior. I always felt like everyone was better than me, even though I was a top-notch athlete. I was super competitive. You know, I could outdo people. I had records, you know, at my high school that lasted 8 years. And, I just did a lot of, I've just been that way. I've always had a pretty respectable level of intelligence. I haven't always applied it that well. But, you know, it just, even though despite the gifts God gave me, I always felt like I was one step behind. And then I was going through a period of time trying to figure this stuff out because I couldn't get it. I'd go to church. I thought everyone was better than me. Everyone's so holy and great. And I'm this bad guy. I wasn't engaged in any heinous activities. But it was just, you know, I grew up in an environment that had a fair amount of shame and guilt. And not a ton of encouragement. And, you know, and that those are things that they're just lifestyle. And I spent a few years bouncing around through different systems. And it was pretty brutal. And when you get rejected like that, it's extremely scarring. And it's hurtful at a level you can't really describe. And a lot of us, you know, there's people out there that are raised in either really harsh Baptist environments or even Catholicism. Thrives on shame and guilt. It's all shame and guilt. And that's not what Jesus sees. God showed me through a series of events that David, the reason God loved David was because he truly wanted an unabridged perspective on God's view. How do you get that? The first thing you have to do is get rid of your emotion. Hypothetically, we all have it. But you don't bring your agenda, the Word of God, and try to make it fit. You don't try to be a know-it-all. If someone's sharing the Word with you, you know, there's people I talk to, and I'll try to tell them what the Word of God said to me that day or week, and they have to take over. Oh, yeah, and they have to tell you all. And that's like a nervous reaction where they don't want to go to that deeper level. There's five levels of communication if you're not aware. And I can't tell you exactly what they are, but the first one is you walk by someone, I guess, on the street and you kind of go, hi, you know, and the second one is you talk about the weather, and the third one is you're talking about your kids and your family. The fourth and fifth are technically reserved for super close friends or a healthy marriage if you have someone that can communicate at that level. Some people don't want to, some people, you know, have been scarred where they won't. People get emotions packed in their garbage can for the rest of their life, and everything ends up coming out as anger when they start to not hear what they want to hear, and they don't get what they want to get, and they have their own preconceived ideas. You know, you think of all the things that we've been taught in life. People are so persuadable and manipulatable. Look what happens to children that grow up in Islamic communities. They've got, you know, videos of six-year-olds that want to kill Jews. We're so impressionable. And we can absolutely have some seriously harsh things, you know, placed within us. That's why when an adult comes to Christ, it says the angels of heaven cry out in joy, because once that is embedded, and there's two things. You can be taught and led that way. You can also make choices to go that way. So some people don't want to go to that 4 and 5 level communication because that's that deep, deep, deep stuff. You know, when I was young and I'd go hang out with friends and we'd, in the summer, lay out in the lawn and stare at the stars and that, and you share your deepest, deepest, deepest dreams, hopes, desires, feelings, wants, you know. And hypothetically, if you have a marriage with someone where you can do that, then praise the Lord. That's a valuable, valuable thing. But there are people that just live, they try to stay up by the high water. They don't want that. And the thing is, in order to be able to achieve that level, you have to be able to be a neutral observer of information. And that's what David was. He wanted God's truth. Somehow, he could put his emotions on a shelf. And people who become highly emotional, what's the emotion everything processes to? The more dysfunctional somebody is emotionally, everything goes to anger. You get your feelings hurt, you get angry. You know, you get sad, you get angry. You have to deal with someone passing away, you get angry. Someone, you know, it's like the Bible in Proverbs talks about, a fool hates rebuke, they scoff, they mock. Those are responses of anger, disgust. This Gottlieb guy who's like some big marriage expert says, the worst form of communication in a marriage is contemptuousness. To be contemptuous means I think I'm better than you. I scoff at you, I mock you, I roll my eyes, I hiss, I fuss, and I storm off. And I'm disgusted. I don't need you. I'm better than you. He said that's the number one indication of a divorce around the corner. Families develop these kinds of skills with one another. I mean, why do people come out of situations where they don't want to cope with anything emotionally challenging? Is that not how we experience this phenomenal journey that God put us on? What are our emotions for? They create motivation, drive, initiative. They make things real. We can feed it. That's why people that come up in harsh and hard environments become chemically dependent, because their emotions hurt. You know, they want to numb it out. They don't want to deal with it. And we attack addiction as if it's something worse. I mean, the biggest problem in our society, well, I don't know if it's the biggest, but a significant problem in our society, the internet's contributing to this massively, but we're making all these rules and all these laws for who? For the bad guys. At least that's what we were doing. And all the good people have to pay the price for the bad guys. Not that it's right, but someone goes and does a mass shooting in a school, and what happens with the liberals? We gotta take away guns. We gotta take away clips. Well, that gun looks mean and scary to me. We better take something that looks mean and scary away. Why? There's so many good guys out there with guns. Our founders wanted us to have them. As Ben Franklin said, where we get the term equalizer, he said, when every man carries upon himself, talking about guns, the ability to take another man's life, society has a wonderful way of regulating itself. If every man carried a sidearm, you think, oh gosh, no, I know, you know, Timmy down there, he's a psycho, he's crazy, he'd be nuts. No, he wouldn't, because everyone else around him would have a gun. So if crazy Timmy pulls his gun, you know, you get the Integris 5, boom, bang, bang, gone goes Timmy. I mean, that's how it works. That's why it's called an equalizer. You can be a male that's 5'6", 125 pounds, and the guy who's 6'9", 400 pounds can't pick on you. inappropriately, because hypothetically, I mean, that's another kind of egregious example, because if some guy starts pushing you around, you wouldn't just pull out your gun and take him down. But the point is, they know you have it, etc. It's a form of equalization in our society, and our founders were very, very well aware of that. So watch this. I have to go all the way back to where I wandered off from, which is biblical numerology, and here's where I was going. The year 2023, and trust me, my year 2022 was not good. I had severe COVID. I had a guy, wretched kind of guy. My daughter was pretty, she's been here a while, but she's, you know, busy and this and that. And there was this guy that, you know, injected himself in here. And a 71-year-old man just stole a bunch of our stuff. And it just, you know, there was just a lot of really stinking things. And but though that year adds up 2022. 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 6. That's the number of man. It's a bad number. It was the pinnacle of COVID. What was the year before that? 2021. What do those add to? 5. What does 5 represent? The pentagram. Year before that, 2020. 4. What does the number 4 represent biblically? Not much, but I can tell you, Hebraically, it's a bad number. It's 2 plus 2. I've seen people try to write this, well, 4 is a good number because the number 2 is good in the Bible, so 2 plus 2 is 4. No. But this year is 2023. 2 plus 2 plus 3 equals 7. God works with sevens. He loves them. And I went back, and I bet you I can't find it right now, but I went back through prior years that ended in 7. And basically, do you know that other than 3 years during our, this last decade, okay, so you got 2014 and 20, whatever it was, I can't remember, 2005. Both of those years were peak years, economically, in national security, etc. Before that, we were in the 19s. You can't have a 7 in 19, because 1 in 9 alone goes to 10. You can get to 17, which is a different thing. 7's the number of completion, finalization with God. The number 17 is the number of profound spiritual significance. You know, you think of 1943. What's that? 1 plus 9 plus 4 plus 3 is 17. The first year of World War II. 16, just to pick. That's when so much happened that year. That's when World War I started to hit its, it was the peak year in all kinds of slaughtering. It was the beginning of, you know, all kinds of things with the shift in currency, the application of the Federal Reserve, very spiritually significant. 1925, what was that? That was the turning point. That was when the Dow Jones got really rolling under J.P. Morgan. The money started to just fly into this country, fly through this country, and it led us. 2025 was the peak of the roaring 20s, but it became a year of absolute self-gratification. We went from the early 20s, I can't even see this in coins. Coins up until 24, minted at branch mints, they were weak, soft strikes, worn out dies. Why? Saving money. Being thrifty, being careful. 2025 and up, everything changed. The quality went through the roof. They started to just pump the fiat currency out. 2025 is the year we went nuts with the Fed, leading us to the crash of 29. What would be another 17? 1934. The absolute complete rise of Hitler. Not only that, the absolute rise of the Great Depression, which didn't end until, what, World War II took over in 1943, which also is a 17. And you can do this. It's very interesting. But with sevens, you go back. You got right now we're 2023. I wish I had these in front of me. I don't, so I might mess up. But like I said, 2014, that was a screamer. 2005, screamer. I mean, these are big, significant, profound years in a lot of ways. But then there's nothing before 2005 until 1601. And I started to go back and do research on that, and I didn't finish. But I'm telling you, this is a profound year for God. It's going to be a profound year for his body, okay? It doesn't mean everything's going to be okay from a worldly sense. But it means God is going to get behind the bulldozer. You're going to see a lot of truth come out. There's so many things coming out right now, folks. I've been watching this. It's awesome. All these articles coming out about how awful these vaccines are. So everyone that tried to tell people how bad vaccines were was always poo-pooed and vilified and called a conspiracy freak and anti-everything. Now, there's power articles pouring out. And I mean power. I saw one today in the Epoch Times. I'll read some notes here from it. It says, Pfizer's shots, this is the cap line, I think, Pfizer's shots are not safe and were never shown to be. Another quote from the article I think I grabbed is, dramatic rise in heart-related fatalities. And then they talked about statistics, which I specialize in. When you get, it's called sigma, it's the likelihood of things being caused by probability. When you get to 7 sigma, okay, 1 sigma means things can happen. 2, 3, 4, 5, it becomes less and less and less likely. At 7 sigma in these statistical research projects, 7 sigma, you're at about 1 in, I want to think it's like 400, let me think, billion, 1 in a 400 billion chance that something could happen by chance or probability, okay? Now, you get to 8, you're in the quadrillions, it starts to manifest exponentially. In these studies that were conducted, they got to like 1 in 30 or a 37 sigma. You don't even know what the number is. It's an infinite. In other words, all of these medical problems, deaths and all this absolutely cannot be explained by anything but these horrendous vaccines that they pounded into us. And I know there's some of you out there that caved and took it so you could travel or make your grandkids happy or your daughter happy or go on a trip or go to work or whatever it is. And the question really goes down to, what was your heart at the time? Did you know it was wrong, but you just caved to man? That's called fear of man. That's not good. Did you know it was right not to take the vaccine, but you did it anyway? What's James say? He who knows what's right to do, but fails to do it, for him, it's a sin. Okay, so if that's the case, you need to repent. And you need to do research how to try to cleanse that junk out of your body, because it's not done. I mean, we saw that football player this last weekend just drop. They're dropping all over the place by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, professional athletes all around the world. You know, they grow these terrible fibrous tissues in your arteries via the Pfizer vaccine, etc. I'm not going to get into that overly today. But it says, first independent data analyst calls for immediate end. This is the first truly independent analyst. He calls for an immediate end to COVID jabs. Not only do they have no efficacy, they have a negative effectiveness. In other words, these vaccines raise your likelihood of not only death, but massive medical, physical ailments that will continue to escalate throughout your life and destroy your quality of living. I don't know if you've heard this, but employers, we've been like, where are all the employees? There's always those on the take. There's so many people now with all kinds of physical ailments, forms of disability from these jabs. They have hid this from us at a rate you can't even imagine. They can't go to work. They're on disability. Our government's shelling out the dough. Cloward and Piven strategy that Obama introduced to us and believed in is exactly this. You take over your American U.S. government through overwhelming the healthcare system. Why would they want to do that? I still don't get it. They think there's going to be universal pay. This is what they want. How do you get universal pay? Well, you better have fiat currency. What's fiat currency? It's a great big credit card. One of the greatest credit cards that exists is what's called the American Express Black Card. If you're a big super stud and you got money, you know, celebrity type money, and you've been pumping money through like an American Express or whatever, or you're well known, you can only get an American Express Black Card by invitation. Our government has a really big American Express Black Card. That's funny, but it's not true, because you have to pay the American Express Black Card off. We're not paying off our debt. Not zero. In other words, the shot isn't have zero efficacy, but it's negative. It's creating massive trauma to our people and our nation. For those of you who didn't know, I've been gone since the 23rd, and I just got back last night. We took 11 of our family members to a resort. We ended up in Jamaica, a beaches resort in Jamaica, for 7 days with 11 family members, 6 grandkids, 3 kids, spouses, the whole nine, through Christmas. And then they went home after 7 days. My wife and I went to a sandals resort in Jamaica for adults, had a really nice time, spent a few days in Dallas. I went and saw my beautiful friend Landon Schott, who was associated with the church here in town, went through some deeply troubling events with his father, who really was a pastor and has had some serious challenges in his life by his own making. And Landon, you know, he went through a lot. I'll put it that way, a lot. And I've mentored him. And he ended up with a church in Fort Worth, Texas. God gave him this mammoth campus. And the story is the most beautiful story. I've told it on the show before. But it's huge. It's, you know, hundreds of thousands of square feet of building facility. The largest Christian school in the area, Dallas-Fort Worth, which when you combine Dallas and Fort Worth, it's the fourth largest city in the nation at about 8 million. He's got one of the largest churches there. This is a guy who's been in ministry. He's been a pastor now for less than 4 years. He started with nothing. He's got this campus God gave him. Seriously, God gave him. It's the coolest story ever. And he's got 3 services of about 1,800 per service. He's feeding 25,000 families a week through his church, and on it goes. They're building a huge facility for people that have been sexually trafficked. Of course, the media is just lambasting him, which is wonderful. During COVID, he never caved. He never shut down. He led. No masks required, none of that stuff. And online, people were criticizing him for not requiring masks, which turned out to be a beautiful thing, because people who had their brain straight would look it up and see that and say, I like that church, I want to go there. And it worked out spectacularly. So we spent some time with him and his wife. It was such a blessing. And it's, I can't even believe what God's done through him. But I'd say the lesson there, folks, is exactly what I'm talking about God showed me. Not that I'm near his caliber, but it's approaching God without an agenda. How many of us can do that? people worship their emotions. On one end of the spectrum, there's people that have no desire to ever give them up. If you're an emotional wreck or you struggle with anger extremely, you've got something you haven't dealt with and you don't want to deal with it. And I don't know where it came from, but you have to be able to face those things in order to become fully open to God's will. Not, again, I'm not telling you I'm some specialist at everything, but I try to be analytical and thoughtful about these things. But I know there's people that choose their emotion. Your emotions can become your God. If you follow emotion, the Bible tells us our emotion is deceitful. Our heart can be deceitful above all things, meaning our flesh. But God's not deceitful. And if we can go to Him, you have to desire God first and foremost, above all else. If you don't, and I know people like this, and it's really hard for me to comprehend people that just, they don't want to know God. I mean, it's sad. Even people that claim to be Christians, they don't want to move or grow. But if we go with an unabridged heart and we just let God do His work, we can walk in the most beautiful place. So what I was saying early on is I was struggling with this through a series of events. God showed me this. And that's when I started to study David a lot. And I learned, because it says David's a man after God's own heart. And I learned that biblically, in the Old Testament, righteousness is not perfection. It's perfection in God's eyes, because God sees what? The heart. He doesn't look at your outward appearance. He doesn't see a guy who's out messing up. You go downtown, say, to the homeless, and you see some guy whacked out on meth. God doesn't see the guy shooting up meth. God sees the internal workings of the man's heart. God sees his needs and his brokenness. And that's what we need to see and reach out to in ministry. And I'll tell you another thing, folks. If you're ever ministering to people like that, learn their name and use their name. A lot of those people in those environments haven't heard their own name mentioned. I was talking to a guy down there a while ago. His name was Steve. And I got his name and I kept talking to him. And I used his name a number of times. He started to cry. And I go, "Why are you crying?" He goes, "Nobody has called me by my name for years. No one." These are real people. They're God's people. God doesn't see this judgmentalistic perspective that we adopt as people and believers. We really believe it. We think, you know, humans always want to go back to works. What's the Bible say? You're saved by faith through grace, not of your own works, you know, but of the grace of God, right? It's not you. You're not comparing yourself to other people. If you do, shame on you. You didn't walk in another man's shoes to get where you're at or where they are at. You just, that's what love's about. Now, there's people that'll hurt you, that are dangerous. You can love them and be good to them. You have to put up a wall sometimes. There's no question, especially if family members have terrible drug addictions that cause them to steal or, you know, do terrible things and lose their livelihoods and all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of times treatment centers aren't the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Treatment centers have become a huge money-making racket. They pump people in, they pump them out. They're just garbage. It's the same curriculum for everyone. Some people need that maybe because they don't have the knowledge, but Jesus Christ is the powerful one. The acceptance of the Lord, when they started AA, was it Bill W. and whatever his name is, it was absolutely 100% Christian. Now they've converted to the higher power. The higher power. Then anything can be your higher power. You just have to have one. There's one higher power in this universe. But that's not true. There's two. One's named Lucifer, and one's named God and Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you one thing, Lucifer is way bigger and more powerful than you or I, and that's why Paul and Daniel make it clear. You don't contest Lucifer. You don't stand out and call him out and think you're Johnny Tough because you know Jesus Christ. That's why they hate the blood of Jesus Christ. You plead the blood of Jesus if you get in a situation like that. You don't have the authority to overcome the devil in and of himself. You don't have the authority to overcome the principalities. That's why you beckon the Lord to do it for you. So how's that for something to think about? So let's get some other information. Let me try to get rolling. I got so much. This is my first show back in a couple weeks. I think what I might do, I might continue for 2 hours and put the other hour on the on our website. Our website's coinsplus.com. It's kind of a vintage site. I've been able to put up a fair amount of my radio shows. When I record off-site, I just haven't had the access to somebody that can help me get all the things set up on my laptop appropriately to record when I'm off-site. And it's very frustrating, but, you know, we live in a new technological era, and, you know, you got to have people that are familiar with all that stuff to help you out, and you know how everyone is anymore. Here's some stuff. I'm just going to bounce here a little bit. These are just notes I have. Some are random as they get. Anthony Robbins, who was the first really motivational, positive thinking speaker in the 90s when I was getting out of college and in banking. He may have even gotten rolling in the 80s, but whatever. He had tapes that people would listen to, cassette tapes. And I had some of them, and it never really spoke to me. I knew Jesus, I tried. And a lot of people got something out of him, and I never did. But I know the guy, not personally, but I have had him. He spent a few hours on our big boat on Coeur d'Alene Lake one time, he and I and another guy. And so I've met him. I've spent time with him. He's you know, pretty profound guy. He said something the other day. He was on Sean Hannity. This is really cool, I thought. And I'm going to get it here. It says, where our focus goes, our energy flows. Let me open this up. Okay. So I'll copy that. Where our focus goes, our energy flows. And then he says, be careful what you add to your plate. Focus only on those activities that contribute to and assure your success on achieving your personal and professional goals. The world has all these things for getting you, you know, to be balanced and smart and all these things. But the fact of the matter is, there's only certain things that help you achieve the ultimate goals in your life. Spiritually, that's Jesus Christ. If your focus, it's just like the Bible says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. We know that's true. You put your money into something and there's your heart. You get people that invest in crypto, what are they doing every day? Crypto, 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 crypto. And then now they're saying, broke, 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 right? They ran out of money. you want to be really careful where your focus goes, because that's where your energy flows, okay? So let's talk about politics real quick. I'll try to keep it a lot shorter than I could. The Speaker of the House votes, if you've been watching this, have continued now for I don't know how many days or how many votes. We've got, Kevin McCarthy for Speaker, and it's the first time ever they haven't been able to get 218 votes. They voted over and over and over and over and over. People contest him because he's been kind of a flake. A lot of our people now are sellouts. They're rhinos, a lot of the conservatives. And supposedly they're negotiating, and that's all going to come together. But when I've been watching this and thinking about it and listening, one thing that really frustrates me is you get a lot of these newer Republicans, and they sound like socialists. I mean, I was listening, I think yesterday or last night or something, And I got this, they're saying, this progressive mantra, this socialist mantra. They're saying, throw out the old and bring in the new. So what does that mean? If you really think about it, throw out the old. Throw out the old what? The old Bible? The old truths? The old what? The old Constitution? The old traditions? I understand they want us to think the old Republican Guard is a bad thing. But let's be real. We can't have our country run by a bunch of brand new politicians. This is my opinion. The concept of the mandatory term limits, I hear people say all the time, we need mandatory term limits. I personally think that could very well put this country into a worse tailspin because the incoming candidates would be much less connected, much more green, and far more naive and manipulatable than the old. I say we need to throw out the new and bring back the old. The traditions of God and this nation, our founding fathers, the pilgrims, the colonies, and most of all, the Constitution, which I believe is a divinely inspired document, have been and are the bedrock foundation that's made America great. Even if these Republicans believe they're saying this just to meet the vernacular of the masses, which is this new progressive perspective or whatever you want to call it, what eventually happens is you will become what you speak. Remember that. It's super critical to know that. You speak something, it's going to happen. You can't speak it. It's as Jesus said, it's not what we put into ourselves that defile us, but what comes out of our mouths. Isn't that interesting? You speak it, it'll defile you if it's a defilable statement or speech, right? We need to stand firmly on our values and morals in this nation, whatever small group of us that may be. And I look and I think about Donald Trump, and I've mentioned recently that I think he actually was kind of an Asperger's type of guy, and you can look that up and make your own determination, but I can defend it fairly well. But he was the only person that refused to waver throughout every form of the most heinous persecution, abuse, slander, libel, lies. I mean, every possible attempt at personal destruction by our socialist propaganda government-run media, it's unbelievable, frankly, folks. But now we know why. The media is run by these corrupt politicians, and these corrupt politicians are corrupt. And the media somehow is in the middle of this. The media is protecting thieves and liars and people that are on the take and bribes and, you know, whatever else. We need to use God as our ultimate example in every way. Today or yesterday, you got Biden out, you know, speaking on the border policy. Now he's claiming that the GOP, the grand old party, the Republicans, have been denying his border security bill, and they're the ones that have caused this border issue. I mean, I was just down in Texas for a few days. Just around El Paso alone, 18,000 illegals a day. And then Biden tries to let Title 42 expire so everyone can come in no matter what. You think? So he's trying to blame the... Here's the facts. Biden, like it or not, he is an absolute corrupt, lying, terrible person. And that's horrible to say, but it's true. You can see it. He's always been this person, and he'll do whatever they want. That's why they got him in there, because he'll do whatever they say, whatever they want, and that's exactly what he's doing. What he's doing to this country is the worst that's ever happened. It's so far beyond unreasonable, it's ridiculous. If our founders came out of the grave today and saw what's going on, the first thing they'd say is, let's go to war. The second thing we'd have to explain to them is, well, you can't. Well, why not? Well, our government has gained so much power that there's no way we could ever stand against them. And they'd say, well, how's that? That's not how it was designed. But the problem is, folks, the bigger a government gets, the worse it gets. All governments become tyrannical. There is no such thing as a government that does not. They become huge. The whole concept of big government is a communistic thing. It's been led and run by communists forever. Now we're the biggest government on earth, and guess what? We're the most corrupt that I know of in a lot of ways. We're looking at every possible thing. They've got endless money. They create it out of fiat currency. It's just one big lie after the next. Anyway, so Biden's bill is not really to help the border. It's for amnesty. So you got to understand, there's 18,000 a day just coming through El Paso. That's 6 million a year, just there. And there's far more. And then you get 2.5 million legal immigrants. And then you get 500,000 a year in overstayed visas. That's 9 million. But that doesn't count the other ones outside of El Paso. It's huge. Whatever it is, it's huge. So the left has been telling us, as long as I can remember, that there are 11 million illegal immigrants. That number has been there forever. There's 10 million a year coming in, and they keep saying there's 11 million illegals. So the true number, I'm thinking, is more like 50 or 60 million. So Biden wants what? Amnesty. Why? Ooh. Legalize them into the system, and they can vote. We'll never be the same again. Never, ever, ever. We already probably aren't going to be. But that's just the capper. And they're working it forever. And you get Republicans that are going for this stuff too. It's just, you get my point. I can keep going, but you get it. It's permanent national suicide. We're already there. Biden's very old, and he really, truly is extremely corrupt and dishonorable. And he could care less about the future of our nation. He never did. He just cared about himself. Today is January 6th. So what's he doing? Oh, he's carrying on about it. You know, they're having a memorial for January 6th, that horrible event that happened when, you know, all these freedom-loving Americans were abused by the Capitol Police. Go watch a video on that. Go to Epic Times and watch the truth about January 6th or the real story about January, something like that, done by a guy named Joshua something. Go watch that. It'll wake you right up. I didn't know all that. And I'm telling you, it's a heinous deception, to put it lightly. So that's what they're doing there. January 5th, Kansas City Federal Reserve leader Esther George said on Thursday, this is money stuff, that she hopes the central bank will continue its efforts to shrink its balance sheet. What does that mean? To reduce outgoing debt. It's called currency retraction. This is what they did that caused the crash of 29 and spun this nation into the Great Depression. We got spending money like crazy fools over the COVID lie, and now what? They want to keep going. But what they want to do is retract currency so you have less. And how do they do that? All fiat currency has to be released through debt. That's the only way it gets out, is debt. It has to be loaned. So they jack rates up so you have less of a desire to borrow the money, and then they make their lending policies far more stringent, and they make money really hard to get. That means people pay debt back, but no new debt's going out. Their balance sheet goes down. Why? Well, there's a couple reasons I can see. One, packing the gun. What do I mean? Get interest rates up, outstanding debt down, then when it comes to Biden's election, lower interest rates, open the floodgates, and make the economy look beautiful, and say what a great job Biden did of turning our economy around. Get ready for that one. The other reason, obviously, well, there's plenty, but one is just control, destructive control. What did they do in COVID? Destructive control. What did they do during the Great Depression? Destructive control. The size of our government grew 1,000-fold during the Great Depression. FDR started this massive communistic landslide that we're under now. His New Deal was the specific wording, the first New Deal was the specific wording of what we call the 10 planks of communism. Everything to a T. It kept getting shot down. He tried this. He tried that. He started threatening to, and Supreme Court was shooting it down. He tried to impose it through executive order, through legislation. Wouldn't work. Supreme Court shut it down. He comes out. He threatens to stack the Supreme Court through executive fiat. On and on we go. So they finally let him jam through a bunch of stuff they never should have. That was the beginning of the, that was the precursor to where we are today, post-World War II, which we hypothetically helped, you know, the Allied nations win. They imposed the Bretton Woods Act. What's the Bretton Woods Act? That's where the U.S. dollar became the petrodollar. All world oil had to be traded in U.S. dollars. It still occurs, but man, are they working hard to get rid of that bad boy, and it's going away. I can assure you, it's going away. They're using this to also correct the Biden hyper-spending, hyper-inflationary mess without properly putting the blame on him for doing it. He's a fool. This Esther George, or whatever her name is that her name? Esther George. Also warned that she believes the Fed will need to press forward with continued rate rises and keep the rates high for some time once this tightening process begins. If you've been watching metals, they're moving up and they're going a lot higher. She said, I think you always have to be concerned about financial stability. And then she said, these are interesting statements if you've been watching this stuff as many decades as I have. She said, that doesn't mean I see something on the verge of blowing up. But I think we know from history, those things don't really manifest themselves until they do. Our system's going to blow up, folks. Okay. I got notes here on CBDC. I'm out of time almost. The CBDC, central bank digital currency, is on its way now. It's being globally integrated. It's 100% loss of privacy and anonymity. We need to be stockpiling precious metals. That's all you got. That's it. And cash. A fair amount of cash. Not excessive. Enough to just be liquid when you need it. The CBDC is coming rapid, immediately fast. They're limiting cash withdrawals now globally and in New York, $45 a day. It means they can control everything people do with money. They can try to control how much you pay for any item, what you buy, or what you receive from someone else. I can't tell you exactly when, what, or how it's all going to fall together, but I can tell you that this is full throttle control time by our government. Globally, too, and we need to prep now. You got Apple, Google, whatever, Microsoft, the banks, the government, the Fed, the Visas, the MasterCards, the Treasury, crypto. Everyone's all against cash and metals. For you, it's party time. You must transfer your money into precious metals. You don't have to, but you're going to see I'm right. What do you have to lose? Metals, people are like, I'm doing this for the horrible time. Just do it because it's God's money. Genesis chapter 2 all the way to the end of Revelation. Money, money, money. That's it. It's the only thing God calls money. Jesus called it money. It's all over heaven. I can go through that and I don't have the time. Don't mess around. It doesn't lose its value. It doesn't have an expiration date. It's the only real money. There's a bunch of you listening right now that jumped into crypto and lost your tail. Why? I'm going to be honest. It's greed. You wanted to get rich. That's not how God works. You want to be wise. You want to secure what God gave you. You want to be a good steward. Precious metals are the way to do it. You cannot sit around and procrastinate until it's too late. And you can't, I don't know why you'd have faith in a bunch of paper stock trash because everyone's doing it. You're not, if you're walking with God, you might be doing what God's doing. Our phone number is 509-444-0044 in Spokane. We have a toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. You can call us. Let us get you hooked up. We've got a nice inventory, better than anyone that I know of, and in gold and silver, precious metals-based assets. We're nationally competitive all the time. We're wise, we're careful, we're helpful, we care, we pray, we love God. Please don't sit there and just remain in the cesspool of the system, the real world swamp, okay? Take care. This show will be on the website too. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.